Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. No place in the Bible can we find it saying that gay is sin. Now, I know many of you would tell me that, yes, you would find gay is sin in the Bible, and you would give me a few verses. And no matter how much I try to explain to a lot of you, you see, I got a lot of experience listening to you because I hear a lot from you online in instant messengers like Yahoo and MSN and there's Odigo and there's a whole bunch of different things out there that you can chat with, and I got my name out there everywhere, so I get to hear from lots and lots of people out there. And those of you that think gay is sin, has a real common trait. You'll swear just about to me that you study the Bible. You know, I don't understand why you can tell me that you study the Bible. Now, I'm talking to those of you that think gay is sin and then would tell me they study the Bible. You know, studying the Bible is not reading the Bible. Reading is not studying. Reading is just enjoying the story. And you learn kind of generally what took place and things like that. But it's kind of a story you're reading. And it's really good. And it lifts you up and makes you feel good and all that. And then when you come and you read some verses, which can be doctrine or which can affect millions and millions of people and are used for judging, you got to do a little bit more than just read the Bible. Now, you should base everything on the Bible because that's your foundation. It doesn't matter all these people that want to say that you got to go out and base things on this and that and whatever, and you just can't really, you know, some people just don't want to even think the Bible's real or anything from the get-go, and they want to say that people that wrote the Bible were just kind of writers, you know, and just kind of wrote on their own accord with no inspiration from God or anything. You can't even get any of these, like, history mysteries or the Bible mysteries or something like that. You can't even get any of these documentary people to even give a hint that the Bible says that all scriptures is inspired by God. That people are writing things down because God told them to. And they also do a lot of research, some of these people that did some writing, so they can get it down, you know, in case their memory wasn't too good. They go out and study and do a lot of things too to make sure they get that their memory done right too. But, like Moses, there's such an attack on the first five books of the Bible, it's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, Moses went up in the mountain and God told him for 40 days, twice, about from Adam until Moses' day. Now, all these people, I want to just try to say, well, these things were written down because of folklore and legend and myth and everything. You've got to try to get something in their minds when they're trying to present something to the public. I don't care if you people are atheists. I don't care if any Bible scholar that might be listening to me or any regular college major in history or something. You just can't go around and assume things about the Bible. I mean, you can go out and, because you don't believe, try to prove what the Bible says. Nothing wrong with that. But if the Bible is saying God said, then you're not going to be able to prove what God did not say, so you cannot start right away in saying things like some people just wrote the Bible and they base it basically on, you know, their own knowledge of myth and folklore. They got this little story from this because we find more ancient writings of some kind of event that looks similar to what a more the actual author of a book in the Bible or something says. Any kind of person that does study in history, when you study the Bible, if the Bible says God told the prophet, God told Moses, And Moses then wrote it down. The book of Revelation. John did not invent the stories. John saw the angel talking to him. Jesus was there talking to him. John saw these things and was told to write it down. He didn't have to rely on memory. It must have been a long trance, but the Bible says that he was caught up in there and he saw Jesus and he was told to write these things down. So when a historian goes, that's not a believer, goes to try to say about the Bible, he can, yes, say that, yes, there are other folklore and legends concerning the things that maybe John wrote for Revelations, you know, to get these different stories of any other part of the Bible. But he has to also, whoever the scholar is that claims to be a historian, say that the Bible says, and we cannot prove it, that God told him to write it, or an angel actually gave it to him to write. And if they cannot go out and prove that the Bible was an invention, like you can with Islam, you know, with Islam, you got the Quran. 6th century or something like that? We got lots of historical records. We got people that wrote all kinds of stuff. We got geological records. We got all kind of manner of stuff that we can go down there and find things out. And we can find out a monk had gone out and saw Muhammad as a boy and said, I'm going to keep an eye on this person for the Vatican and watch him. We're looking for somebody that we can make a Messiah to the Arabian people. When you can find extra history that says something that, hey, maybe Muhammad did not get this Quran from God. Maybe he got it from the Vatican. And if the Vatican's records show that through a certain woman who was related to Muhammad, an aunt of some sort, but was also a devout Catholic close to the Pope in Vatican, and was under orders to give the interpretation of the Quran that was given to him. Well, when you get this kind of information, then you can question a little bit better where that Quran comes from. And likewise with other kinds of religious material. A lot of religious material says right out that some of their religious leaders, founders, just wrote these things up. And would say that any old religion is okay, and they're based on certain principles. Well, Christianity is a little different. It starts out by saying that Moses wrote those books because Moses went up the mountains, got the Ten Commandments, and God told him something for about 40 days, and he wrote it all down. How much Moses knew before? That's speculation. He was well educated because he was like the son of Pharaoh. And so, adopted sort of like, but you know, he had access to all kinds of libraries and was able to understand a lot of things and learn a lot of stuff. But we know that the Bible says Moses got it from God. So now, any kind of historian has to at least add, the Bible happens to say that Moses got it direct from God. So that means if Moses really did get it direct from God, then Moses didn't take it out of customs and traditions and myths. He's got it direct from God. And it's also, you know, us Christians know a little bit about the history of the world because of what the Bible says and all that kind of stuff. We know the Garden of Eden story, and people came out of the garden and the flood happened and people scattered all over the world. And so, you know, if there was a flood, then no matter where you go, you know, you got the Tower of Babel. Everybody was smitten with a different language. And so they scattered all over. Well, they're going to bring into whatever culture or religion that they end up developing the stories and legends that the Bible talks about. So you're going to have all kinds of myths and legends, even writings much older than the Bible. Because when Moses' day came around, you already had the Tower of Babel. The flood was way on before that. And you had all kinds of events. Lot and and Abraham had their little thing, the Sodom and Gomorrah account that a lot of people like to say God destroyed because of gay people. Instead, the Bible actually says God destroyed because of inhospitality and the relationship that a lot of you have to Sodom and Gomorrah being a gay city or something like that is because of gang rape with the intent of murder. The intent of gang rape with the intent of murdering their victims. This is not describing the gay behavior. So any of you that like to use Sodom and Gomorrah to say gay is sin, can't. Because only closest type of thing you got to resemble any kind of sex is gang rape with intent to kill the victim. And you know the numbers of people. You know that every single male in two cities, boys, grandpas, and men of two cities came to do this. Well, this is not describing gay behavior. People, there's lots of things that we got to understand when we're studying. Doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or not. Doesn't matter if you believe in the Bible. You know, why does these same scholars that don't believe in the Bible will use, how often do they relate to Plato? And how often do they relate to all the other kinds of people that has written things in antiquity? It's almost as though that many such writings is considered to be absolutely accurate. And they are presenting information to you in various documentaries about writings that are secular or of other religions, and they seem to kind of take it with, hey, you know, this is pretty accurate, or it is a myth, or so forth, and they don't seem to have any problems with using this material as some sort of valid type of thing. And in the Bible, though, they want to disprove it. But you can't. You see, the more you study, the more you learn, the more you find out things. And today, you could put lots of pieces to the puzzle together. There are some still that are really hard to figure out, you know. You still got to figure out how Germany, because lots of people really believe that Germany is Gomer, and that Gomer is going to come down with Russia. And when we look at the big events, we have to use a lot of imagination to get Russia and Germany together. It's not so hard. Russia, Ethiopia, and Liberia. And when we're looking at the way the world is shaping up today, it's kind of hard to think, how are these people actually going to come down on Israel? And then God will destroy 5/6 of the army that tries to destroy Israel. We do see arguments that Germany is having today with the United States. But they like to still think that this is not something too serious. I mean, it's pretty not very good what they're saying. But still, you know, there's lots of kinds of things that you got to try to figure out that hasn't quite come together yet, but it's going to come together. When you study, you learn things. And you learn that this plan for a new world order is about 5,000 years old. Just recently, as I was going over this and talking to God about that and adding up this and putting this piece together and putting that piece together, the puzzle for the last days, and recalling all my 30 years so far in looking into these things and beyond 30 years of interest in this kind of a field. And I was starting to think, you know, because usually I'll be telling you that one of Noah's sons sinned. The sin is kind of vague. He uncovered the nakedness of his father, Noah. And this was kind of no-no in the ancient days. But I'm kind of now thinking that it's possible that the Masons, as it were, started before 5,000 years ago, you know, before the flood. And why do I say that? Because I don't think necessarily that one of Noah's sons just happened to get caught in a sin like this. And that this was so important that the Bible has to talk about it in such a way. I think it was a clue. I think that before the flood, this bad apple of Noah's son already had ideas that were not godly, as it were. He was the son of Noah, and he had a free ticket to go into the ark. So, because one thing that I do know would be that all the people that went on the ark would know about the life of the time during the flood. Or after, before the flood, you know, from the garden to the flood. This was pretty common knowledge. You lived a long time. You didn't forget things. And people that were there almost firsthand can tell you about it. Adam was alive considerably time. Almost everybody alive would have known Adam before he died, some 900 years old. And so they would have really lots of information that they can remember, because they didn't have any forgetfulness as it was that we often get today. And so lots of things could have been done, and I speculate, this is only a guess, so I'm not saying this is how it was. I'm saying that the son of Noah, that sinned, also was into things and probably had friends during that first 1,000 years. Of course, he was born towards the end of it. That they would have known some things. And he would have probably been into situations where he would understand a few things more than what maybe Daddy did. This is speculation, but it certainly makes a lot of sense. Don't take me at this, but I think that we can go further, because this story is a 6,000-year-old story. And so the preparation for the tribulation is 6,000 years old, though we only had the people that came on the ark and was able to come out of the ark after the flood was over and start new. So one of these sons of Noah's basically kept in his heart the things prior to the flood. And basically, this was a no-no to talk about, because you got to do things of God and not the things of the days of Noah. This has gone on for a very long time, and there is information around all over the place if you study. And you can find out that there's technology well beyond what we see around us. The United States and other places has tremendous technology advances, then we would almost call them, they must be from aliens from space. But no, we actually do have technology that could be considered from aliens. They might actually be, but basically we do have the technology, our own technology, that is capable of do some very fantastic things. Fantastic enough that we will think that Jesus is returning. We'll look at the sky one day, and or some places in the world be night, and there, Jesus, or it may take the form of a god, of the predominant god of the area, and it'll be in the language of the area. It'll be in your language. You'll be able to understand it. Every single person on earth will see this. This is technology, computer programming, hologram technology. You'll hear it, like the sound coming from space. These things are going to happen, and you'll see this. If you see Jesus returning, people, if you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus, and you see Jesus coming, you reject that Jesus that you see. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what that Jesus tells you. You reject that Jesus, because that is not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus says that when he comes to you, and you believe in him, you won't see him. You will be minding your own business and not even maybe even thinking about Jesus or anything. You'll be at work or sleeping or playing or maybe even doing something you haven't ought to. You know, Christians sin and everything, and maybe they don't like the idea that maybe they ask forgiveness, maybe they don't know they're sinning. And no, they might be in the middle of that, but they have faith in Jesus Christ nonetheless. We're still sinners, but forgiven. That doesn't give us any right to continue doing stuff that we know absolutely is sin. But we're human. We get caught up in addictions and of all kinds of sorts, and we sin anyway. Well, this isn't going to get you hell. And that time of the rapture, it's not going to stop you from the rapture either. There's a lot of other stuff that's going to happen before the rapture that'll get you pretty good situation so that you probably won't necessarily be messing around in your addiction to sin. But you will simply be going around one day. You'll know that it's close because there's already 3 billion people that have died in the world, so it's not going to be a sudden, unimaginable, unexpected type of event. Already you would have seen 3 billion people die. And so this is when you would, at a certain point, you would see, or you would be, you know, somebody could say that at any moment Jesus could come. Are you ready for him? You know, today we say at any moment Jesus can come, are you ready for him? But we are far from the truth, because it isn't any moment. 3 billion people have to die first, and we haven't even got a scratch on that yet. And it's got to be at a certain period of time, during a 3.5-year period of time. From the 3.5 period of time, then 3 billion people will die. It could be a little bit more than 3 billion people. Population has increased the last 10 years or so since it would be 3 billion. Then you will know that Jesus could come at any time. But before that, don't go preaching that Jesus, if Jesus were to come tonight, would you be ready? Don't go preaching that, because all you're doing is preaching confusion. It's not going to happen that way. It will not happen that way. Then, when the rapture actually happens, you will just simply disappear off of Earth. How that'll feel, who knows? But you will know, because the next thing you know, you're up there in the sky someplace, and there's all the dead already there, and there's Jesus, and he's starting to give his rewards to you. Revelation 11:18. And that's after the temple is opened for the first time to us, and that the mystery of God is revealed, is accomplished, and the rewards are given. So this is when the rapture will take place. But there's going to be something, so you won't see Jesus coming. When Jesus does return and every eye see him, we'll see his backside and we'll see the tail of his white horse. So we will all be behind Jesus. So if you see Jesus coming, reject that Jesus, because you will not see him coming. You're going to be coming to him in the rapture. He's not going to be coming to earth. So when you see Jesus coming to earth, reject that Jesus, no matter what you feel, because that's not what the Bible said that he's going to do. Anyway, if you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. But you got to study, because the great deception is coming and a great falling away. You know, it could be as much as 2/3 of Christians will fall away. Current Christians, as much as 2/3 will fall away. And 1/3 will be brought through the refiner's fire. It doesn't matter. All the Christians out here are just having a good time and thinking, oh, there's no chance that they're going to lose out. There is a chance. Because you're supposed to endure. You're supposed to persevere. You're supposed to hold fast. You're supposed to stand fast in your faith. And you're supposed to watch. So you'll know the hour. Because the thief is going to come. And he's going to steal every single thing that you have. So you need to be ready and keep an eye and seeing how he's going to come to trick you. See you next week.